just in tears. It makes me think of A Church for All. I don't know if you've read that book yet. Strongly encourage it. I cry like a baby every single time. I think it really speaks to the soul of what you guys do here at the UU. So just going to put that out there. So in 2020, as we all know, it was a really pivotal time for the whole world, right? At that point, I had a whole lot of time to think, more time than I was comfortable with, because at that point, I knew who I was, and I was very, very quiet about it. My husband jokes, he had no idea. I did a very, very good job keeping my authenticity to myself at my own detriment, right? By that point, I was tragically depressed, and the global pandemic certainly was scratching on that depression. And in a candid political conversation, my husband made an egregious misstep about the queer community, and I outed myself out of anger. And oh, I've never wanted to suck words back into my mouth faster. I was like, oh no, just trying to bring it back in. But that opened so much within me that I was finally able to have a community. I was able to just be alive. I was able to be a human being. I was able to exist. And this last legislative session really, really brought into question kind of where our community is going, right? Who do we bring into our community? Since then, right, it's been 3 years, fast forward. In 2021, I attended the Pride Picnic hosted by HCAD. It is a wonderful organization, and I love it. They do tremendous work. But I noticed that there was only one queer voice, and that was Natalie. And I'm thinking, an organization that is focused, and an event that is focused on the queer community needs to highlight queer voices. So I started kind of, you know, outreach and talking to people as we do, as I do. Obviously, I'm a therapist, so I am both nosy and wordy, okay? And I found that job way too late. I've been nosy and mouthy my whole life, so it's a perfect fit. But I found Annie Johnson, and I love Annie. Annie is a gift, and she really helped kind of guide the foundation of the creation of Pride. And she has had to step away since because her heart is in other places, and we support her fully with that and absolutely love everything she does. But since then, our board has shifted a lot. This year for a Pride Picnic, we had, many of you were there, it was a fantastic turnout. We had well over 500 people in attendance, and our hearts were just singing because coming off of so much hatred, it was so beautiful to see a community gather around us and celebrate alongside of us and accept us in all of our authenticity. We had, you know, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which, you know, they're drag queens who are farcically dressed as nuns, but they bring so much joy to every space they're in. Currently, our board consists of myself, Angie Egler, and her wife, Dawn, Kirstine Wilkinson, and her wife, Janet, Alexa Davis, and her partner, Sarah, and Cass Ferguson. Each of us play a vital role, but one of the things that we've noticed is that we're just a handful of people, and we have a lot in front of us, a lot. For anybody with school-age children, if they attend public schools, House Bill 1608 is in full effect. I have three school-age children. Two have shortened names, so their names are Lucas and Samuel, but we received notification, oh, Lucas wants to be called Luke. This is a big deal. No, it's not. Tragically, Lucas would also probably like to be called something else, right, Luke? Not every kid has a supportive family at home. One of the things that I handle as a mental health counselor who specializes in the queer community is I have a lot of kids who come and see me because they're suicidal, because they're gay or lesbian or trans, and they don't have a safe home. They don't have a safe school now. They want to wear a tangerine dress. My little guy is a tangerine dress wearer, so that one really hit. It's just, it's hard. Because now we have an obligation to keep these kids safe. And our partners in that, our public schools, are now being legislated to remove that safety net. And that's just one piece of legislation. There are so many others that are still up for debate and up against the Supreme Court. And it's hard. It's hard on our hearts. It's hard on our souls. But that is one reason to be extremely thankful for organizations like the UU, because we feel home here. We feel welcomed. We feel embraced. And that's magical. We don't get that enough in Indiana, in Hendricks County, in Danville especially, right? So what have we done as Hendricks County? Currently, we have PFLAG, which Annie is leading the charge on, and it will not always fall under Hendricks County Pride. There's a lot that goes into creating PFLAG, and Annie is working to get all of the checks in the box. That way, PFLAG can exist under the larger PFLAG umbrella. Currently, we're just kind of like, hey, we've got you, whatever you need, two thumbs way up. We also offer something called the Pride Pantry, which is where individuals who need like menstrual hygiene products, they can get those. They can get chest binders, they can get trans tape. Unfortunately, all of that is housed in my garage, which is not ideal, and my husband is not always happy about that, but he supports me so in all of my things. We have the Chosen Family Project, which has been hit and miss. As I touched on briefly earlier, not everyone in the queer community has a supportive family, right? I don't. I don't have anyone in my family that accepts me, which is okay, because I'm 40. I'll be 41, level 41, leveling up this year. So I've come to terms with it, but there's a lot of young people who don't have that. So we try to partner with volunteers within the community who will host somebody who doesn't have a family for Thanksgiving dinner or for Christmas or for the high holidays or whatever their, you know, preferred holiday celebration is. And the goal is that they would develop a long-lasting familial relationship. It hasn't always been successful, but that's okay. Sometimes programs evolve and change as we learn what goes and what doesn't. Queer Conversations is something that we loved. It has kind of fallen to the wayside as Annie has taken a step back and my life has gone through so much transition this year. Most of these programs started when I was a student and a stay-at-home mom. I'm now a soon-to-be student again in a doctoral program and a full-time therapist and a mom. So volunteers are very, very, very needed to help get some of these programs going again. But Queer Conversations we did at the library. Annie and Casper attended a lot. They were fantastic. We were able to sit around and just have conversations about things that were pressing. So like the legislative agendas that were coming in to really harm our community, some of the volunteer opportunities, and finding out what people needed. We're just five queer individuals. We don't know what everybody needs, right? And then we have a couple of things in the works. We have a gaming program that's in the works. This would be tabletop, video game, role play, D&D, things that are very niche for the LGBTQ community, I would say. We're hoping to partner with Valkyrie's Vault for this. I'm super excited about it just because that's a great way to bring everybody together, give people a safe place to go. And then one thing that I'm trying to partner with people locally, especially clinicians, is to offer some sort of a youth support group. I'm a licensed therapist now. I have my own liability insurance, so I can host a place where these individuals can come and feel safe. We can talk about things in a confidential manner, and we can build supports for them. We can build connection and community, and connection is the foundation for everything. That's why we're all here today, right? Ultimately, we're here to connect, to build that social system that we need. We're here because we're herd animals instinctively, right? At the foundation of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we've got connection and safety. Without those two, we're in trouble, right? There's a lot of individuals, especially kids, as young as elementary school, right? Like the book said, that don't have connection right now. They don't have that safety net. And that's something that my heart is so, so passionate about, is helping build that safety net of safety for these kids, where they can come in a tangerine dress. They can come in high heels. My son is sporting blue fingernails today, and he can come in with blue fingernails and know that there's not a single person that's gonna say, boys don't paint their nails. Makeup's not gendered, clothing isn't gendered. It's art, right? It's expression. It's not based on gender. And that's something that, as a lot of this stuff rolls out, you know, we're going to see more backlash. And as a mom to people who are in the LGBTQ community, as a member of the LGBTQ community, and as a founder of Pride, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. But one other thing that we're doing is creating what we're going to call pride committees. The hope is to give people a direction for volunteer opportunities. We had a lot of volunteers for the Pride Picnic. A lot. It was beautiful. But then the rest of the year, people are kind of like, well, if you need help, we'll help you. And I got to thinking, I was like, huh, how do we keep people looped in all year long? Passion projects. Gleaners, right? That's a passion project for you. Good for you. That's fantastic. Gleaners is amazing. We didn't do that for Pride. So I'm like, well, what are people passionate about? We've got art. So we're building a committee for people who are in the LGBTQ community who like to dabble in art, whether that's metallurgy or paint or makeup or prose or song, whatever your artistic avenue is. Legislative and advocacy, that one is my personal passion, obviously. The goal for this is, and this can be allies, this can be parents of people in the queer community, and this can be members of the queer community, because from a legislative standpoint, from an advocacy standpoint, we are all impacted by what's happening at the State House, every single one of us, right? And unfortunately, at this point, it's deadly. I don't wanna be, you know, negative Nancy up here. I'm a realist, though, and that's just the reality on the ground. So the goal for this committee is that we can all gather together and talk about the proposals that are being put forth. We can talk about the pieces of legislation that have already passed. We can talk about, okay, who can we partner with, like the ACLU of Indiana, like PFLAG, like there's a defense legal fund. There's all these organizations that we can partner with to where our efforts are being funneled, and it's a huge echo chamber, and it's more impactful that way. And another committee that we're hoping to create is, I have lost my third page, one second, is a special events committee. Excuse me, a special events committee. This one's a personal favorite of mine. So a couple years ago, we did drag bingo. This year, we've done a burlesque class, which was super fun. I want to start doing hikes. That's something I don't understand why, but we, in the queer community, we have very specific things that we're known for, like Subarus and hiking and gaming. It just do be like that sometimes. So that's something I wanna really bring to the forefront. And then just other events that would help bring us together and build that community. We will be looking for locations that can host some of these things, hint, hint, not putting anyone on the spot, but knowing safe places really, really helps. This is the second time I've been here, and every single time, I cry like a little baby. So I think that does something for my soul, and it speaks about the acceptance piece, right? It's not, there are not a lot of places, whether we're talking about a straight community or a queer community, where I can go as a mother of four children, married to the dutiest of dudes, where people are like, hey, you're one of us. I come in here every time and people are like, oh, hey, you're here for Pride. You've got a husband and four kids. And there's nobody hesitates. And that's beautiful. It really is beautiful. But going forward, volunteers are needed, right? We have a lot to do. We have a lot in front of us. We've been under the thumb of some really, really aggressive legislation that's doing harm. And the only way that we can make change is to gather together, right? To be loud. Sometimes that's uncomfortable. Sometimes that's a little risky. But lives are depending on it, literally and figuratively. It's an unfortunate reality. I can't put into words enough how thankful we are for organizations like the UU that continue to show up for us, that partner with us, that sponsor us, that host us. It speaks volumes about your heart and your acceptance, your willingness to see people as we are. It's a really beautiful thing, and we are so eternally grateful for everything you do for our community. Thank you for your time today.